All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1095 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, February 18th, and this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at geeknesscentral.com/insider or simply just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. So we make a little bit of adjustment on the camera. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Man, it is absolutely fantastic to be back, but I feel like I've been away a month. I don't know how that is, but it's only been, we've had two shows missed because of my travel. But I guess, you know, to really start off the show properly, I want to give a very warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers, all the Ohana of the show. Those of you that are brand new to Geek News Central, Ohana means family here in Hawaii. It's one of those terms that it's really embraced, and I want to embrace all of you that have checked out the show or are coming on for the very first time. And, of course, if you're a brand new listener to the show, I want to welcome you to the show. And I want you to take some time to get over to geeknesscentral.com and subscribe to the show. You'll find information on the website. Basically, you can subscribe via iTunes, Android, or by email, or just grab the RSS feed and use it whatever podcatcher you want. Those of you that are on Blab tonight, thanks for being over here. If you want to see this thing tonight full screen, feel free to go over to live.geeknewscentral.com. There's a full YouTube live stream over there in living color. You'll be able to see all the stuff. But glad those of you are with us on Blab. I definitely appreciate it. But most importantly, if you have comments about today's show, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook, Google+. Really, in a place that there is social media. And of course, you can find me under Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku on the Tech Podcast channel. Of course, you can get the subscribe via the podcast app on the Apple TV to the Geek News Central podcast video version. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher and Blueberry.com. So, really, there's no, this place is everywhere. But more importantly, just come over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find everything there that you're going to need to get subscribed, watch, listen to the show, check out all the great content on the website. Well, of course, big thanks to our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Elder Divide with Todd Ani, and of course, the Geek News Central team who is doing all the blogging on both Geek News Central and the ProGear.Guru site. So lots going on, folks. I'm going to tell you, it's a little, how should I say it? Frustrating. We'll talk about being a little bit frustrated in the space and about the podcasting space here in a minute. But I'll save most of the gory stuff for the new media show on Saturday. But hey, most importantly today, this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy. And let's just be straight up. GoDaddy has been here for 11 years, since July of 2005, taking care of the show, taking care of me, keeping the lights on, keeping the family fed. So I want you to take some time, and if you're looking for a new domain name, if you're looking for a hosting site, looking for a deal, looking for something creative to do, I want you to go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and use one of my promo codes. Save you 30% on new product orders. We get you 99cent.com. We get you $1 a month economy hosting, managed WordPress hosting, or even the website builder product that they have. All of that is $1 per month for 12 months and plus a free domain. And all my codes over there are non-expiring, so you can share those with your friends, family members, people that you know, and allow them to get great savings as well. We already passed Valentine's Day, so, you know, we talked a little bit about when I was leaving. I was telling all you fellas and ladies, you know, get up, put up a quick website, something for you and your honey. Put some pictures up, make it a Valentine's theme. It'll be something that you could password protect so that only her and you and her, or her and you. Is that the right way to say that? But anyway, the two of you could enjoy. So that was just a little project to think about, but maybe everyone is kind of getting settled into the groove here of 2016 and thinking about, you know, writing about your life or talking about your most passionate topic. Really, GoDaddy's the place to go to get started, get a domain name, get a hosting account, get started for $12. $12 a year for web hosting and that domain. You just can't beat it. So again, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And I'm looking behind me, and I noticed something. For those of you that have been with the show for many years, the cabinet is dark. What a knucklehead. I am totally, like, losing it. For those of you that are listening on the audio portion of the program, you could care less. You really could care less because you can't see it. But I was looking back, and I'm like, why is it so dark? I'll turn around and flip the switch here in just a second. I'm being very professional. You'd think someone that has 1,095 episodes under their belt would have their act together, but not tonight. It is not my night to be squared away. So let's just, you know, kind of go cover what's been going on. As I told you, that I left for Chicago a week ago. What was it? Wednesday night. Got into Chicago Thursday morning. Had really kind of landed. Got into the hotel room. Got a shower. And the team started showing up. And by 11 o'clock, the tables were full of computers. And we were hot and heavy and planning what we were going to do for the next year at Raw Voice Blueberry. And from that, it really went nonstop. We would start at breakfast at 8 a.m. in the morning and finish. Well, I think Angela and I were finishing midnight, 1 o'clock most evenings, because we would wipe the other fellas out. They would be, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Barry was tapping out. Brian was tapping out close to midnight. Angela and I were doing dev work and, you know, just the stuff that we never can do really over the phone or via GoToMeeting session, or, you know, it's just being there together and pointing at it and arguing and having a good time. We got a lot accomplished. 286 or 268 agenda items. Everything from, are we doing this right? What do we need to do next? Where do we go from here? Really laying everything out. And I'm going to be frank with this entire audience. You guys have been with me from the beginning here. Many of you have. From day one, when we started this grand experiment and was able to find a sponsor, then started bringing other shows in under sponsorships and built the company from this audience. You know, many of you guys don't remember that, but, you know, I did a call out on this show, you know, a little after GoDaddy started sponsoring this show. And I basically said, I need a lawyer. I need a graphics guy. I need a computer programmer. I need a biz dev. And from that call out, 9 people got on the initial first call. And by the time we were done, everyone, I think we had 4 left on the call. And the graphics guy, who was Brian, said, I know this programming dude. Let me call him. And Brian worked on Angelo for a couple of weeks. And then from there, we all wrote a check and Raw Voice was formed. And it really came from this Ohana, from this family, and everything that we have built today and what we've done in the podcasting space, Genesis out of Geekness Central. So, you know, that many, you know, we haven't told that story in a long time, but I'm just, you know, I was kind of brought back to that again on the, you know, in the meeting this weekend. We've known each other so long, this team has, is that, you know, it's like your best friend. You know, your best friend, you just can tell him anything, right? You can tell him that he's a jackass, or you can tell him, you know, you can just say whatever you want, and, you know, you might argue for a little bit, and you're just, and you come out of it and you're like, you're cool, you're bros, right? And that's the way my team is. You know, we can yell at each other and we can fight and argue and negotiate and cross back and forth. You know, it's that big of a dynamic that this team that I have, and including the extended team in the office, we're just this big, huge family. And I'm absolutely, I just came away feeling I'm knocking on wood here. I really do. Got to take a deep breath, knock on wood. But I want to thank all this Ohana, all of you guys. This thing would not be possible without you. And this audience, you know, the support of the sponsors and through the years, and the, you know, the amount of bankroll we had to put into it. I just, if this audience hadn't been here, it would not be possible. So yeah, just for the Ohana and for the longtime listeners and viewers of the show, just thanks. And I continue to be humbled every day. You know, we're fast approaching show 1100, taking a little while to get from 1000 to 1100, but we're going to beat this monster here in a few days. But it's just been a fun ride. But anyway, got a lot of tech to talk about tonight. We could reminisce all evening, but that's not what we're here for. But my writing team is caught up with all the CES videos. I've got about probably 100 left. So they're coming. I just got to get some time to start editing again. And I kind of wrap this up before we get into the tech tonight, just to kind of say that there's a lot of drama going on in the podcasting space right now. And I am I'm really at a point where it's like the battle lines have been drawn. There's an East Coast bubble that, and a bubble of media companies out there that just think that the world revolves around them. And some of the stuff that's been going on in the press recently, and some articles that came out in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and some of the things have just been non-productive. And, you know, we've been pretty vocal on some of that stuff already. And all I can say is we're just going to continue to serve the folks that we work with and do our best and see where this thing falls out. But the space is changing. The suits are coming. And I've said this several times, you know, back during the Revolutionary War days, the redcoats are coming, meaning the British were coming, and now it's the suits are coming, and they're trying to change the space and the dynamic to fit their business model. And I'll be honest with you, the boxing gloves are not coming off. We're going to fight it to the end and do our best to do what we do and to serve the community and to serve you guys, to make sure that you guys continue to get the listener experience that you deserve. And, you know, the 98% of the rest of the podcasters out there, they're not part of the bubble. We would be not doing our job if we really didn't go forth and fight for them. A lot of people are making comments in Blab. Yeah, this is always a solo podcast, folks. And we've I just do it on Blab tonight. If you guys want to hang out here, that's cool. And I want to thank you all that's in watching the show tonight. And again, the full screen view of this is over on the website at live.geeknewscentral.com. So for the viewing audience, I'm going to turn around here and turn on the lights. So there we go. That looks a little better. Oh, lovely. And yes, I am wearing shorts. It's 80 degrees here in Honolulu, so sorry. All right. Let me go ahead and... oh, man, I am totally screwed up. There we go. Now we got the mood set right. All right, let me load the tech up because I got a lot to talk about. And let's start off, first things first, and talk about what's going on with Apple. You know, we've talked a lot about privacy. We talk a lot about encryption on cell phones. We understand, this audience understands absolutely why they did what they did. You know, Snowden and his revelations, and then, you know, all the things that have come out over the years about the government, you know, supposedly doing what they do to you know, basically get access to information maybe they shouldn't be getting access to. It's not mine to judge that, but let me just say this. I know a lot of people are going to say, applaud Apple for not unlocking this phone for the feds. And that's really kind of what they're doing. They're not being asked to unencrypt this terrorist phone. They're being asked to unlock it so that they can get in and get information by it. Whether you like it or not, we live in a country that is garnered by the rule of law. And those lawyers and those judiciaries can, you know, use their pen to force companies to do things. Now, Apple's completely within their right to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. And that will go to some sort of, it's going to escalate. There's going to be more judicial process. But if they get to the point where, let's say this goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, Apple, you have to unlock that phone. I think we as those of us that listen to the show are Americans, I think we can understand that, you know, Apple's going to have to do that. Now, I don't begrudge them for fighting this tooth and nail, but, you know, let's take this from a different aspect angle here and talk about this a little bit. This phone that they're being asked to unlock right now, it was actually owned by the state or that county that this guy worked in. So it was actually an employer-based phone. It was actually the proprietor of, I think, San Bernardino County that actually physically was the owner of that. It was just an employee-provided product. So the employer has told Apple, you can unlock this phone because we are the owner of it. And Apple has basically said, screw you, we're not going to, because number one, it's going to give the FBI the potential now to be able to unlock further phones. But let's be honest, they're smart at Apple. You know, they got the biggest market cap in the world, for God's sake. And they should be able to write a piece of code, if they're allowed to do it in a controlled environment, that will simply allow the feds to unlock this one phone. But they don't want to do that, and we all know why, and we understand the reasons behind it. And some people are going to be like, fight, Apple, don't unlock the phone for the feds. But what if this guy that had worked for this this group, and by the way, they're not being asked to unencrypt. This is not what they're not being asked to. They're being asked to unlock the phone. This phone is locked. They're not asking to de-encrypt. They're asking to be able to bypass the security settings to basically enter the touch ID, or the passcode for this phone through automated means, to be able to run whatever combinations of passcodes they need to do to get this thing to open up. They're not asking Apple to de-encrypt it. They're asking them to, and this is where the crux of this, and I don't know if Apple saw this coming or not, because they encrypted it. Yeah, that's for sure. But the way that the iPhone works is when you enter your passcode, it talks to the encryption software and basically allows that phone to be able to display the information because you've gave it the right credentials. So they're not asking them to decrypt it. That's not even in this court order. So people need to understand what is being asked of them by the court, okay? Again, we all understand that once, if they provide this kind of software, then yeah, maybe the feds will use that on other phones. And there's a case in New York where they've got 76 drug dealers that are basically are in a judicial process where they all were using iPhones that are locked, that cannot be unlocked. And even though they've got a warrant that says I should be able to look at that phone, because we have probable cause that this guy is a criminal, they can't unlock the phone yet. Yet, Apple has already in 72 instances, they have admitted that they have unlocked the same way that the feds are asking them to unlock this particular phone. They've unlocked at least 70 iPhones before. They've already done 70 before this refusal. Now, again, Apple's fighting to unlock the phone, not decrypt the phone, which in a sense it's going to do, right? So there's a lots of cases going on right now where you have criminals that are being prosecuted that they can't use evidence on the phone to send whatever these folks are being accused of away. And so, you know, that's the thing we're up against here at this point. So is Apple and Google at this point, can they be above the law in saying that I'm refusing a warrant to unlock this phone to abet the law enforcement agencies to find more information? Now let's say if this terrorist had should a terrorist have done a nuke in California and they got his phone, do you think the public would be like, yeah, that phone should be opened up? He killed a bunch of people, so should his phone be opened up? You know, what level do we have to go? Someone's saying, should a judge be able to force a tech company to make a product it doesn't want to make? Well, they're not. Apple has made the product. You know, today, the feds can march to Apple's headquarters, present a warrant, go into the building, and seize stuff if they feel that Apple is, you know, basically, you know, thwarting an investigation. It's just the law. It's the way it is. I'm not saying I agree. I'm playing devil's advocate here. When a judge tells you, here you have to do this, and you say no, you get your lawyers, and this is going to work its way up to the court. It'll probably go to the Supreme Court. And at some point, someone is going to be compelled to do one thing or the other. So what happens if the Supreme Court of the United States says, Apple, you have to unlock that iPhone? Then what? That's the question. What if Apple says no? I believe in privacy. You guys remember, I spent 24 years in the military. I believe in the First Amendment rights. I believe in privacy. You know, I fully believe in this stuff. But at the same time, I also understand that, you know, there's bad guys out there. So if we're willing, I guess, at this point, to not know, not to gain any more information about what people have done and these individuals being terrorists have done, if we're willing to walk away and say, okay, it's all right, we don't need to know any more information about what they did and who they worked with, and willing to take dead bodies lying on the street, that's the case. And I know that's a over-the-top statement. Let's be frank. You know, I'm trying to antagonize you guys a little bit here. But at the same time, we understand that Facebook and Google are all behind Apple saying, don't unlock the phone. And we all understand this. But today, federal law enforcement or local law enforcement can show up to your house, kick your door in, search your house, seize your computers, take everything away if they suspect you of a crime. If they suspect you of a crime, you don't have to have committed anything. All they have had to do is get a judge to agree that there's information in your house that they feel they need to prosecute you. And they will kick your door in, put you on the ground, put a gun in the back of your head, cuff you, sit you on the yard, and pack your house out. They can strip your walls down to bare and leave you with a shell. They can do that. Do we like that? Under you know, obviously, if they're going to come do that, they're assuming that you have done a crime. Now, this guy had done a crime. He had killed people. All right? We know this guy killed people, right? It's not he wasn't even suspected of a crime. Him and his wife came in and blew away a bunch of people in a room. He had an iPhone. It's locked, all right? So this guy has done a crime. The judge has said, Apple, unlock the phone so we can see if there's any information in here on who these people have worked with to stop this from happening again. And Apple said no. So we understand the whole privacy thing with what happened with Snowden and everything else. But we're in a situation now where someone's information cannot be can be reviewed to see if they had ties to anyone else. We're not talking about them taking your phone, although if they have a warrant, they could, if they suspect you of something. You know, the analogy I've been trying to make recently, and this is one that people use as a fear tactic all the time now, is, all right, you got kids? All right, someone comes and steals one of your kids, kidnaps them. They seize the individual that they suspect have kidnapped one of your kids. They don't have your kids with them. Now, I bet you as a parent would go to all means. I know I would. I would get out, if the police would let me, I'd probably go in with a pair of pliers, some vice grips, ball peen hammer. And I'm going to find out where my kid is. But, you know, they would not allow me to do that. I'd be locked up too. But if they've got this guy's phone and he's refusing to unlock it and he's got your kid someplace, and the information about where your kid's at is on that phone, would you want them to be able to get a court order to unlock that phone? I bet you would. So, or would you be willing to say, as an individual, as a father, or as a mother, be able to say, oh, no, I don't care about my child. I care about this guy's, the suspect's privacy more than to have him unlock the phone. I think we all have to get off our high horse just a little bit. Again, I believe in privacy, believe in the Fourth Amendment. I don't think any of us likes being spied upon. But let's just throw a little common sense into this and let's grow up just a little bit. The circumstance for each and every one of us would change our perspective on what we would think would be reasonable. You know, you all know, most of you that have been listening to this show know that I had three nephews that went up missing on a Thanksgiving day. They were abducted by their father, estranged father, took those three kids to God knows where, and to this date, those kids are not found, likely dead, likely had been put in a dumpster. Now, and I shouldn't say niece, it was my cousin's kids. So let me say that. So it was my, whatever that relationship is, second cousins or whatever. So it's my cousin's kids. It's been on television over the past, out of Morenci, Michigan. So don't you think, and here I am, the cousin, that I would have wanted that individual's phone reviewed to figure out where he went with those kids? And yet we've had an individual that has come into a building, has killed a lot of people, and then been killed themselves in the ongoing shootout with the police and whatever transpired there, yet Apple saying, no, we're not going to unlock this guy's phone. Gives you something to think about, doesn't it? If you look at it from different perspectives, Let's say that someone comes into this country and has a nuclear weapon and they put it in the middle of Los Angeles. It's on a countdown timer for 12 hours from now, and it's going to do a 50 megaton boom in L.A. Let's just use that as a hypothetical. Let's say the feds catch this guy, you know, with 2 hours to go, and he's got his phone, and his phone is going to have the information on where that nuke is. Do you think Apple would unlock that phone? So let's put some perspective to this. Would it be okay then? Or would we just, because of principle, allow Los Angeles to be nuked? My prediction is that we're going to have, at some point, as this goes through the judicial process, that Google is going to basically be forced, I mean, Google, Apple, is going to be forced to unlock that phone. That's what I predict is going to happen. If they do not, if they win, then we all have to think about the perspective of what will happen when you're in a situation where you need someone's phone to be unlocked because the criminal is endangering your family. So I can't wait to hear the feedback on this one. Because we have to just put ourselves in different shoes and different, you know, in different situations. Someone in the chat room said if they have a biometric, they can make you unlock your thumb. Absolutely. If you have a biometric lock with your phone, they can put your finger, they can force your, with a warrant, they can force your finger to go on the phone to unlock the phone. If you've only locked it with the passcode, then we're in the situation we are now. So, I don't know. You know what, chat room, what do you guys think? What do you think? Should Apple be forced to unlock this phone? If it was your kids that was, or your sister or your mom, do you think? What do you guys think? I'd love to hear from the chat room what you guys, where you guys lay on this one. You know, I understand. I understand the passion behind this and why people are pissed off. I get it completely. And I understand why Apple did what they did, you know. So we all been down that road. We understand that story. But, you know, the rubber's about to hit the road here on this one. Okay. Someone said, same reasoning as the ability to withdraw blood. And, oh, yeah, if they get a warrant to withdraw blood, they are going to take it from you. And there's not going to be too much you are going to be able to do about it. Now, if it's a DUI and you say, I'm not going to take the blood test, well, they say, okay, you know, that's your right not to submit to the blood test. We're just going to take your license for the next year. And, you know, we'll go through the court system and have the fine. But if you are considered of a murderer, and they get a warrant to take your blood, that's not going to cover you. They're going to pull your blood, and you're going to get a DNA, you know, DNA test or whatever they're going to do. They're not going to have much choice of that. Your butt's going to be strapped to a table. Oh, all right. Hey, John McAfee, he said, hey, just give me the iPhone. Give me my hackers have it. We'll have it broken 3 weeks. Or I'm going to eat a shoe on TV. So, is that guy he must smoke a lot of weed. He really must. The guy is wild. Oh, by the way, it wasn't 70 phones sitting in New York City for a criminal case. It's 175 Apple devices sitting in a cybercrime lab because of the encryption. They can't get to the information. And I think these are mostly drug deals, drug dealers, not necessarily, and who knows? It's a full spectrum. It's at least I'm assuming so. But you know, this story is a bonanza for the Department of Justice. They've been waiting for something like this because they want to put the screws to Apple so hard that they're foaming at the mouth. They really, really are. All right, Apple's new 4-inch iPhone will come with an A9 processor, so this sucker should really cook. So, yes, this 4-inch is being planned, and we should see this device being announced around, about a month. March 15th is the next big announcement day by Apple, and we should see these smaller iPhones come on the market around the 18th. For those of you that travel overseas, if you use Apple Pay a lot, Apple Pay is launching in China. Of course, the Chinese, and along with Japanese and most Asian countries, have been using a form of mobile payments for many, many, many years. Matter of fact, I used to laugh because we were making mobile phone payments at convenience stores, like, you know, a long time ago, 10 years or more ago, we were making mobile payments. So same in China, but it's mostly been through local companies. So, you know, Apple requires the hardware to be able to do the NFC interchange. How many of you use an Apple Pay? And I'm going to be honest. I've got cards loaded in Apple Pay. How many times have I used Apple Pay? Once. So I'm not even using it. So, you know, go figure. Now, this next one will make all of you very happy. All right. We're leaving Apple stuff. We're getting away from the controversy. And now we're sticking it to the man at, we're sticking it to the man, speaking to Cable Man. The FCC just took the first big steps toward changing the cable box business. How many of you got a cable box? Or are you guys all cord cutters already? You're not got a cable box anymore? Well, in a 3-2 vote, the FCC has decided to move ahead with a proposal that could drastically change the cable set-top box industry. The decision may have far-reaching consequences on how cable customers watch TV. This is a win, folks. If this gets through, we can cheer. And really what it's doing is, and it goes into comment stage now, is they're going to unlock cable boxes. So that if Roku decided they wanted to make a cable box, you could take the one that you pay $12, $13, $14 a month from the cable company, you pull it out of your rack, and you put it in your car, you put the Roku box in, and you have a brand new cable box with from the folks at Roku or Google or whoever, and you take that piece of crap cable box that you've been using for and paying rent on for the past 25 years, and you take it to the cable company, and you just say, no, thank you. And this, to me, is major win for consumers. So the FCC is basically saying that if any company can build a box that can they can communicate with any TV service, those companies should be able to get started building cable boxes today that rather than having to work out a deal. Yes, the key word there is deal, because what has TiVo had to do? They've had to work out a deal. And yes, you're right. Someone said in the chat room, isn't this the same idea cable cars were supposed to accomplish? It's true, but they made it so painful. But what this really does is this essentially allows you to be able to, if this passes, that you're going to be able to put in your own box, register it with the cable company, and you'll be good to go. And there will not have to be this deal done like TiVo's had to do with the cable providers to make it work on your, you know, on your system. So this is big. It really, really is. And cable car didn't work because they fought it. I mean, you could get cable cars, but you still had to pay the rent on the cable card. So this is a big, big deal. And I'm very pleased to see this happen. We'll see if it how far it makes it, and if some congressional senator gets angry and tries to protect the cable companies. Because many of you are podcasters, and have you ever been listening to a podcast and you've had like Google Maps running and all of a sudden it tells you turn right and yet it talks right over the top of the audio podcast and you can barely hear what the mapping software said? Well, did you know that there's a switch in Maps that you can go and toggle to pause spoken word when it tells you to make a left or a right? So if you didn't know that, there's a switch in Google Maps and in Apple Maps, excuse me, that gives you the ability to pause spoken audio during your navigation. So just a little Apple tip there. How many of you are doing Airbnb? I do it from time to time. I don't do it a lot. But there's a comparison that's come out. So there's a comparison of U.S. cities where it's cheaper to book an Airbnb instead of a hotel. And believe it or not, if you look at average hotel prices across the country, and we're not talking about staying at a five-star, or we're not talking about staying in a Roach Motel either. We're talking about staying at a mid-grade, maybe three-star or so hotel. Let's say maybe Hampton Inn, Fairfield Inn, that type of a level of a hotel. But typically, the Airbnb rates and that level of a hotel service are pretty even. Now, there are exceptions. In San Francisco, the Airbnb prices are higher than hotel prices, and it's that way in many jurisdictions. But Seattle's cheaper, Portland's cheaper, San Diego, just like San Francisco, higher. It all depends on where you're at and where you're staying. for example, in Nashville, you can get a decently real nice hotel for $178 a night as compared to $201 for an Airbnb. So if you're using Airbnb, make sure you're shopping. And you may find that it's actually cheaper to stay in a hotel. Now, staying at the Airbnb is cool. Sometimes you get a private pool. You know, you get some extra stuff. Maybe they got a jacuzzi. You don't have to share with 100 hotel guests. So, there is advantage of staying at Airbnbs over hotels for sure. But just shop around a little bit and check it out. All right, Microsoft is coming out with their new wireless display adapter. And, you know, this is many of you have already got a Chromecast. You've got a variety of devices to... you maybe have an Apple TV. Well, Microsoft new wireless display adapter is now more responsive. It starts at $49.95, and it does appear, according to the reviews I'm seeing so far on Engadget and other locations, that that's pretty snappy. So you do something on your mouse or do something on your tablet, and it mimics across the screen. And there's not this lag like there used to be. So anyway, it's available in the United States now for $49.95. It's $10 cheaper than the previous generation. You can get it on Best Buy, Amazon. It's not released March 1st, so you got to wait till March 1st to order it. So there, apparently, the reviewers have gotten their hands on one. You know, I got a weird review unit that came in. Let me see if I can find it. Here in Hawaii, we have all the motorcycle cops use laser. So the folks from K40 sent me a, I used to call these fuzz busters, but they're called portable all-band radar and laser detectors with GPS technology. So K40 has an interesting guarantee. They say that you can drive ticket-free for a year. In other words, if you get a ticket within the first year of owning this, that they will pay your ticket. They don't say that you're going to be guaranteed you're not going to get a ticket. I don't think anybody could do that, but they'll pay your ticket if you use this radar detector and get a speeding ticket. So tomorrow, tomorrow morning when I take my kids to school, I'll be on a 55 to 60 mile an hour highway that will be moving at a whopping 5 to 15 miles per hour. So I'm sure that I will need my K40 laser and all-band radar detector. So we'll give it a try here. But there are some highways I drive on a nearly daily basis where, how should we say, I can exceed the speed limit a little bit. So that will definitely allow me to, for better word, test it out, because the... as we like to call them, HPD motorcycle cops are there with their laser guns trying to catch people. We'll see how it works over the next couple of weeks. Moving on here a little bit to more on the car business. Toyota has recalled a million cars for seatbelt separation. So if you own a 2006 to 2012 RAV4 or a 2012 to 2014 RAV4 EV, your car's under recall. That's 2.87 million vehicles worldwide, about 1 million here in North America. And it basically, it's not necessarily that the seatbelt is going to fail in everyday use, but when you're in a crash, apparently there's something that can snag on it and cause the seatbelt to be severed. Now, that's kind of scary, right? They're saying that during a crash, the seatbelt can be severed. You know, you think of, okay, this thing comes across your heart and, you know, across your lap, and it's above your shoulder. If there's something that's going to be cutting a seatbelt, would that be like not, wouldn't that be able to like cut my neck or my head or my shoulder or my arm? That makes you just go, just a little bit. Something to do with the frame, I guess, but it makes you scratch your head just a little bit. If there's something in those vehicles that could cut the seatbelt, yet they're not recalling it to fix it so it doesn't cut you. Okay. Are you a Star Wars fan? Well, do you want to watch the original? How many of you got to see the original back in 77? I did. And I don't remember the movie itself. I remember going to it. I've seen Star Wars episode, well, it was actually episode 4, but seen it a number of times. And so a bunch of dedicated fans have taken matters in their own hands and were able to restore original version of Star Wars from 35 millimeter prints dating back to 1977. This was a silver screen edition. It came out of a Spanish market. So they had to do a whole bunch of work, but they have they got about a minute of the video showing the difference between the digitally corrected and the original that came off the 35 millimeter. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for the Super Star Wars fans out there, okay? And there is a place where you can go download that too, but I can't tell you where that's at. You'll have to do a little sleuthing on your own. If you're a business owner, you will know how important Twitter is. We have a couple of tools that we use to monitor Twitter. And I have someone watching Twitter for our keywords about maybe 19 hours a day. And there's maybe about 5 hours of overlap. And we have software that actually looks for conversations that may be about us and alerts us. We can look and see if it's us or not. But the if something has gone wrong, people use Twitter to fire weapons at you, fire insults. So usually the early warning radar detector for the internet is watching Twitter and basically responding. So Twitter's making it easier for businesses to receive messages from customers. So they're rolling out new tools to improve two-way conversation with companies who want to use Twitter. Basically, you can switch a setting now, and they'll be able to send a direct message without having to be a friend. And I think this is important because sometimes people need to pass a little private information. Maybe this is my account name and so forth. They don't necessarily, because what'll happen is they'll say, Blueberry, I've got a problem. And I'll be like, okay, can you tell me what it is here or submit a support ticket? And you're back 2, 3, 4 back and forth before you're into the person's account. Whereas if the person would just be able to send you a direct message, say, hey, Blueberry, my account email is this, and I'm having this problem. Can you look into it? And that is, it cuts down the number of back and forth. So I think this is smart that Twitter is making it easier for businesses to receive messages from customers. And I'm sure there's going to be a certain level of spam with that, but it's worth it to be able to cut down on that rotation time. Very, very cool that they are making that available. I don't know the timeline on the rollout as well. In the last show, we talked a little bit about Spotify and how if you're this is not necessarily for this audience, but, we worked with Spotify, and now anyone that has a Blueberry account can submit their show to be considered by Spotify. Real excited that's going well. We're probably getting 300 to 400 submissions a day. That we're going to, on a weekly basis, basically go through and then submit. So, I've been watching a lot of the news about what's going on with Spotify, set up some new searches in my coverage here for the show. And I found one today in The Verge that talks about, does Spotify need to go after exclusive content? And many of you are plugged in all day long with headsets. You listen to podcasts, you listen to music, you listen to the newest releases. So in the last 4 months, new albums and singles from Adele, Coldplay, Future, Drake, My Son Loves Drake, Beyonce, Rihanna, Kanye West, haven't been available on Spotify upon their release. And the reason is because of these relationships they don't necessarily have, but still they've released some. Maybe they release a single off an album. There's even been exclusions there. So will the absence of these exclusives start to hurt Spotify? That that is a question that people are starting to ask. You know, I wouldn't buy the new Kanye album. That's, you know, I'm a little bit beyond that genre of music. But a lot of people are not. And they want to, you know, they listen to Kanye's albums and they love his music. So most folks don't buy albums. They just go on Spotify or their favorite music streaming service and they want to hear that album. They can't. So the question is, if you're a Spotify user, is this affecting your, you know, your perception of, do you want to continue to spill money into the Spotify platform with that, you know, with that premium service? I'd love to hear feedback on that at geeknews@gmail.com. All right, Hubble. You know, you guys know I'm a space junkie. I don't know what half of, I just love the images. When it comes to the science, I'll be the first to admit some of the stuff that they talk about with some of the stuff that's out there is beyond my computation. But Hubble continues to wow us with just incredible images. And the folks over at Discovery have published some of the latest pictures that have been released. And just some of the stuff is totally amazing. And I'm going to be straight up. I'm a sucker for a lot of these cool Hubble pictures, because when I see one like the one I'm showing the viewing audience right now, when I see something like that, it just literally blows my mind. And you know, this clusters of stars and gas and all this stuff that are in these images, they're just off the chart. Wow. And of course, there's been color correction added to them to make them look, you know, more beautiful. But those instantly go as backgrounds on my computer. And, you know, when I drop a browser and I just can stare at it, it's absolutely awesome. But it just makes you wonder. Are we living in the Matrix? Because some of this stuff is just too beautiful, too amazing to comprehend. And the vastness of space and the galaxy is out there. But Hubble keeps bringing these pictures in. It's just insane. All right, something I'm starting to see, I'm sure you guys are starting to see it too, is I'm using an ad blocker. And, of course, again, I want to thank cameraman Jack for encouraging me to use uBlock Origin. It's allowed me to have 30 browser tabs open in Chrome and not crash the browser, even though I'm starting to see that happen a little bit more now. But one thing I'm seeing is that some sites now, when I load them, they're like, you're using a ad blocker. You cannot continue to this site until you enable the advertising to be seen. So I'm usually just kind of like, okay, you know, flip the site to bird and I'm out of there and I don't undo the advertising block. But once in a while, I'll kind of, you know, it gets the best of me and I want to see the article, so I'll flip the switch and go in. So right now there's a war going on that basically the ad blockers are becoming so effective that there's a potential for about $21 to $22 billion a year being lost in revenue to websites that we probably all should be supporting one way or the other if we're on their site and not just a casual wanderer. We probably should be turning these ad blockers off, because if we don't, and what is actually, again, what is happening is they're actually blocking people that have ad block, not letting them come on their sites. So it's becoming a little bit of tug of war. We know GQ did this. I'm not a guy that goes and buys clothes that are in GQ. Most of the stuff is in there. I don't know how people can afford anyway, but let's, how has your guys' experience been with ad blockers here? Are you getting blocked on websites? You know, I think what happened, and let's be frank, they got over the top. We'd go onto a page. I remember loading a news site. I think it was CNN. I was reading an article, and all of a sudden, the article disappeared because they threw this, like, half-page big digital ad in front of me. And I'm, like, scrolling down to, because I'm mad, because I'm scrolling down to go read the rest of the article. Then it closes, and I have to re-scroll back up, and it's just like, okay, fine. You're going to do that? Block. I'll block the ads on this site because you're ruining the experience. They got over-aggressive, and maybe they've had to throttle back a little bit because they know people are just getting pissed off. And plus, all the tracking. As you guys may know, one of the team members, one of the board members at Raw Voice, is Jeff. Jeff works at a major media agency in New York. Because of him working there, we're not allowed, my company's not allowed to do business with them, so there's no conflict of interest. But what I hear discussed about how in the past we've been tracked, it goes much deeper than I think most people realize. Sure, we've been on Amazon, we've searched for a certain product, 2 or 3 days later it comes up as an ad on a website, we've all seen that, but I keep telling everyone, we're worried about the government, and were you worried about the government asking Apple to unlock a phone? Maybe we should be more worried about what's going on with our personal information with all these websites collecting all this data on us. I think they're getting more data than anyone else. Long time said that the Google probably knows more about us than our wives do. So let's take that into account. But they're fighting back on these ad blockers in a big, big way. You know, I never really knew this. And I guess maybe it's because of living in Hawaii, but Amazon has what's called flex drivers. And I guess these are folks that just come, you know, they go to the Amazon warehouse, they pick up same-day delivery boxes and drop them off. It's kind of like driving for Uber, but you're driving from Amazon. But Amazon has invited its flex drivers to sign up for the expanded on-demand delivery service. Now, listen to this. Are you out of a job? Okay. I don't know what your socioeconomic situation is, but if you live in an area that you can sign up for Amazon Flex and actually do package delivery for them, they're paying $18 an hour. I'm thinking to myself, if they do that here in Hawaii, I'll tell my son, there's the car. You got to pay for your gas. But $18 an hour? He could drive for 5 or 6 hours and make more money delivering Amazon packages. Now, the limitation to this is you got to be able to drive 9 to 4. You can't, or 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. But you can work 7 days a week. This is amazing. An introductory offer of $18 an hour. Now, you're going to use your gas. So, you know, let's say you work a, you know, you have to figure out what your cost and your wear and tear is. But I think what you should be is an Uber driver and a Flex driver. But that's kind of cool, yeah? If you think about it, outsourcing or sourcing deliveries, and they're paying pretty good. Now, you don't get, if you wreck your car, it's probably, I'm sure it's on you. You get hurt, you don't get any workman's comp. You don't get no benefits. But if you're between jobs and drawing unemployment, $18 an hour probably sound pretty good for a lot of people. All right, here's a tech/cultural article. And when I show this to my wife, she's going to flip out. In a good way. In Japan, let's just say here in the United States, the LGBTQ community is well established. In Japan, LGBTQ is still, let's just say, repressed, not culturally accepted. They're way behind. Same-sex relationships not officially recognized by the government, on and on and on and on. So Panasonic has revealed, and this is huge, this is a Japanese company. I mean, this is huge. Panasonic has revealed that it will recognize its employees' same-sex relationships from the start of April. The announcement was timed to coincide with the news that the third Japanese prefecture will do the same. Now, again, you may be wondering why Panasonic's decision is newsworthy, but it's a groundbreaking move in Japan's socially conservative society. The firm is a large and respected player in the business community, and its decision could cause other tech firms to follow suit. The AP explains Panasonic is sponsor of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, which has a clause opposing discrimination by sexual orientation by its partners. As such, the company will alter its in-house definition of what constitutes marriages and spouses in order to provide benefits such as health insurance. This is revolutionary for Japan. I asked my wife, we've been married 20, going on 21 years. Did she ever know anyone that was gay? And she said, no, no one's gay. I'm like, what? What? No, that's not how this works. No, it's not possible. And because it was so culturally repressed. So this is, I can't tell you how big news this is. So kudos to Panasonic for pushing same-sex equality in Japan. This is big. It's really, really, really big. It's really an amazing story to me. And when I show her this, she'll be astounded. All right, Link NYC's free gigabit Wi-Fi officially launches in New York City. Testing of it so far looks like that the speeds are not doing too bad. It's not gigabit speeds, but the free Wi-Fi has, they were showing 70 down and 150 megs up. I'm sure as more people pile onto those Wi-Fi hotspots and use them, it'll probably drop further, but still, that's not shabby. And a lot of people don't have that in their homes. So 70 down, 150 up, which is kind of an interesting, it's kind of interesting in itself. All right, one thing I was going to do before we get too far in today's show is I want to make sure I'm following everyone that's in the blab tonight. And I want to thank everyone that's been here. We're not done with the show by any means yet, so I am following most of the folks. All right, the FCC is... Oh, I already talked about that. Yeah, we can get rid of that one. One last story for Apple. Actually, two more. They've upgraded their upgrade plan. So if you've got a phone you want to do a bump to the next generation or bump a couple of generations, if your phone's in good shape, they're going to give you a heck of a trade-in deal, and in your ongoing new price per month will be a lot cheaper than maybe what you expect. So be aware of that. Also, Apple patched the operating system so that the Air 53 that was bricking phones will basically allow the phones to work. Now, I not understand how they can unbrick a phone, but anyway, long story short, they've got an update for those of you that were having Air 53 issues. Let's see here, what else have I got? Oh, if you're a PayPal fan, PayPal has updated its mobile app. I haven't updated it yet. I guess it's been released today, and this is a huge, huge design change. I was just looking at some of the screenshots that were provided. I use my PayPal app a lot. Don't use it as much from the payphone as I mean from the mobile phone as I do from my desktop, but fundamental changes to the whole design of the whole system. So this is the first major rewrite by the folks at PayPal in a long, long, long time. All right, I need to open up the email browsers or email so I make sure that I'm ready to talk email if there was any that I have my stack. If you use Facebook Messenger, this is going to be discouraging. A leaked document Facebook has sent to some of its biggest advertisers revealed that Facebook will launch ads within Messenger in quarter two of 2016. The document, which is obtained by TechCrunch but kept private to protect its verified sources, says business will be able to send ads as messages to people who previously initiated a chat thread with the company. All right, you've had a chat with a company representative. And then all of a sudden, now the company's going to start sending ads to you via Messenger. Do you think that will have... have they not learned? It just... Really? Really? I'm going to have a conversation with you, and then a couple of weeks later, you're going to start pushing ads at me via Messenger. I can't wait to figure out how to block that and remove you from any Facebook communications at all. Not smart. Not smart. Oh, yeah. In the chat room, Bang says, easier to apologize than to get opt-in. Yeah. How many of you have always wished to be able to buy stock of, like, someone, let's say, like, Evernote or Twitter before they went public? You know, all these companies that none of us that are not accredited investors or had a connection were ever able to get in on the ground floor of an IPO. Well, it appears since the latest downturn and with the Chinese market having issues and the valuations of companies going up and down and all the other thing in the stock market, that these unicorn shares that have been so hard to come by, again, in secondary markets are starting to loosen up a little bit. So if you are wanting to get your hands on some of these big companies, some of these big startups, these so-called unicorn companies, there might be stock available. Now, if the people that are holding that stock are looking to get out, that to me would make it very obvious that there's a lot of risk involved with buying that kind of stock. But if you have full faith and due diligence in a company and you feel that's the one you want and you want some of that stock at no cost, some of that stock is starting to become available. It's starting to loosen up a little bit in some of the markets. So be aware of that, okay? Also, the next thing is in the toy department that everyone's going to want is a new drone. And yes, it is the USS Enterprise. This is gonna be awesome. So they're making a Star Trek 50th anniversary edition drone, and it's being made by Air Hogs RC Vehicles. So I don't know. Oh, it's gonna retail for $120. So if you're a fan, this is gonna be for you. All right. Hey, one thing. Did any of this audience send me a drone? I got a drone yesterday that was drop shipped by someone I don't have any email from. I have no idea if they're a fan, if they're a vendor. I'm totally confused. They sent me a $250 drone. I'm assuming to review, but it didn't accompany any email. It wasn't anyone I talked to at CES. Sometimes fans send me stuff. I know you guys send me, I got a bottle of Macallan for New Year's. I got that as a gift someone sent. So whatever, if someone sent me a drone, please email me and let me know, because we don't know where this thing came from. And I asked my kids, did you buy a drone? They said no. So I'm a little bit, usually if someone's going to send me a gear review, they send an email first. But this one was addressed to Geek News Central. It's not, when I have stuff come for reviews, it's Geek News Central Reviews. That's the address we give PR people. So be honest, it's cool. He sent me a drone. We're going to fly it. But I have absolutely no idea who sent it. So if it was you, let me know. And if you want to claim that you did, that would be cool too. One last thing here for Apple. The FBI is saying that they want to use dead suspects' fingerprints to open iPhones. Oh, man. So they're going to get this guy, you know, go to the morgue, put his finger in the iPhone and unlock it. Or, worse yet, dig him up. Oh, man. It's just the insanity. It's totally unbelievable. All right, let me go in here and look at what I've got for comments. You know, because of the travel and everything, there's no email to go over tonight. Or either that or I missed some emails, but we can solve that for the next show. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to call. And I do want to thank all of the insiders that are coming in and supporting at the 2, 5, 15, 20, and $25 levels. I think those are the levels we've got set up. Thank you so much for your ongoing contributions. I'm tracking a number of you for the achievement levels, for some rewards, some gifts. So I want to thank all of you for that. Again, to become an insider, all you got to do is go over to geeknesscentral.com/insider. Again, we want you to share this show with your friends, family members, people that you know. Definitely get over to geeknesscentral.com. There's been a ton, an absolute ton of cool articles that have been put up by my writing team. And, you know, let me just kind of go over a few things. For those of you that are audiophiles, these new Technique headsets, they're $1,200, but they are, oh my goodness. Get the interview on that. Some stuff about Nortec and some water saving solutions for those of you that are homeowners. This is basically some monitoring equipment to determine when you've got a leak in your house. This is a fun video, Arai. I did a, we've been doing CES interviews for 11 years. I had Daniel J. Lewis sitting at me with the table. And this guy came up with this Kickstarter. It's an eye massager. Yes, I said eye massager. And I tested it. And Daniel was worried about trying it because he had contacts in. And he decided to go ahead and try it. Now, again, we've been doing interviews for 11 years at CES. And I've never had one of my co-hosts moan. Daniel moaned when he put this on. I giggled about it during the interview, but this is a good one you can check out by Arai. This is not going to be a cheap device, $239. We've got the Jake Fuel Cell as another article talking about this is a hydrocarbon, I believe, a fuel cell. What else have we got in the stack? We talked about some new Alpine in-dash radio upgrades. Did you guys know that when you do an upgrade in a car these days, that it's just not, they don't have it set so you just take the radio and replace the radio? They do like you can do the whole dash. You can take like the whole dash out and put a whole brand new dash in. And I was just like, where have I been? Supporting both the Apple and Android devices. This interview we did with Randall Kleiser. Now, this guy is a name that any of you that are, I guess for a better word, of Greece. He was the director of Greece. And we have a fascinating discussion with him about shooting now in 3D, and what it takes to do these continuous shots on sets now where you have to hide the cameras and everything. This is a fascinating interview with John Randall Kleiser for a film that's going to be coming out called Defrost. Again, it's going to be a VR film. Again, super 3D. You'll be able to look all the way around in the set. And again, they have hidden the cameras. It's one continuous shot because to do this, you have to do long segments and then break and do another long segment because you just can't do short segments because it just doesn't work in VR that well. Great interview. We've got a product review by 1x1, which is it's basically a HDTV amplifier. It just goes on and on, all the different interviews we have from CES, and literally like 300 of them are being posted on the website. So definitely geeknesscentral.com or over at tpn.tv. So this is going to bring me to the end of the show. I want to thank you all for being patient for me being gone. I'm back with you. So let me look at the calendar. I have no travel. I'm not going anywhere as of this moment, until at least the third week of March. So by my calculations, we're going to get to show 1100 before I go on travel again. And I'm going to be here for almost a month straight. But I do feel with the way the travel is being set up for April, for March, I will be able to do the show the week of the 21st. Looks like I'm going to be Sam Garcia, going to be in your neighborhood. So I'm going to be going out to Albuquerque for a series of meetings. And then moving into April, I'm going to be going to the East Coast for a couple of days for some meetings to New York. And then it the third week of April, second week of April, we go to the NAB show. So I have to speak in LA, I think the 15th of April. So probably a missed show sometime in April, and maybe the week of NAB too. So just to give you guys a little idea what's coming up over the next couple of months, but I should be here rock and rolling with you and doing the show on a regular basis. Of course, we'll be doing the new media show on Saturday. If you have comments on today's show, of course, you can send them to geeknews@gmail.com and get them, or just, you know, hit me up on social media as well. But glad to be back in the chair. A little rough start at the beginning of the show. We want to thank everyone that's been in Blab, that's hung out. The Blab folks, thanks for being here and having commentary. I'll hang out just a little bit post-show. But otherwise, for the rest of you that are listening on demand, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.